Heights and Mights podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Heights and Mights podcast. Heights and
Tights and Fights is a podcast with Mike, Danielle, and Hal talking wrestling every single week. Yeah, we are Tights and Fights, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the all-Philadelphian Hal Lublin, and I'm joined in the booth by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the new face of beer, Danielle Radford.
Cheers.
And the perfect 12, face Mike Eagle. Beer. 12. It does sound like something that, some, like a frat brother. It's the president of the fat. He's the new face of beer.
Yeah.
Get it? I always wear sandals. Coming up on this week's show, a best friend breakup, the Reigns of Champions, a champion named Reigns, and a lot more. But first, WWE's got a new show for us to watch. Yay!
Yay!
Or maybe we'll just check in with it occasionally. Okay. Whenever we hear there's a good match on, it's the first episode of WWE's Cruiserweight Show 205 Live. And I'm just going to start by saying that I always wondered what it would be like to have an answer to that philosophical question, which would be, if a wrestling show happened in front of a crowd full of people who made no noise, would the match still have happened? And the answer is yes. They turned the lights down so low on that crowd, and apparently from reports I saw online, it's because most people left because they had watched 3 hours of wrestling. So they watched maybe even more. They probably watched dark matches.
That was the fourth hour.
Then it was the fourth hour of wrestling. So you have dark matches, you have main event, then you have 2 hours of SmackDown, and then 205 Live. So and here's the other thing. These cruiserweights now have to travel with Raw and then also with SmackDown.
It's the dumbest thing.
It is super dumb.
It's the dumbest thing.
It is super dumb.
Are they doing house shows? They must not be doing house shows.
Right? I can't imagine. Well, maybe they are.
It can't be. Well,
who knows? Maybe they're traveling with both. Maybe they're splitting them up because they have a large... They introduce you to the whole roster and you were like, that one guy I don't know.
A good feeling they're not changing ring rope colors on house shows.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No.
Probably not.
It's like, fuck you. You're used to the indies.
Like, look, we even have ropes.
Yeah. Get your ass now.
That being said, the wrestling was good. I'm a huge Jack Gallagher fan now.
Oh, my God.
So it was great to watch. He was the most over guy the whole show. But they were doing... The matches were good. Why would you make that the fourth hour of wrestling people have to watch if you want to try to get it over? Because that seems to be the problem that we're talking about over and over again.
That's my entire thing with that show, is that, like, these guys aren't your big guys.
Yeah.
So why are you forcing them to carry this last thing while there's no one there? And obviously they rose to the challenge and they had people into it at the end. But it's like, bruh, if you're afraid that what they're doing is so good that your dudes that you pay $1 million to aren't going to be able to do it, then maybe it's up to the $1 million dudes to step up their game and let these dudes that no one's heard of get a hot crowd.
Mm. Oh, yeah, look, when the Bollywood boys came out at the beginning, and obviously their entrance is made to have everybody. They want everybody to dance with them. And then they shoot the camera around the audience, and it's like trying to shoot the Kiss cam at a stadium full of Mormon teenagers. You're not going to find anybody who's involved in what you want to see.
I got to say, personally, even at home, when those guys came out, I just wanted to punch them in the face.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not down. I'm not here for the Bollywood boys at all.
You just no brown dancing men for you.
They got to grow on me. I have resistance.
Were there highlights to the show for either of you?
Clear highlights. Being, like you said, Jack Gallagher, who is going to get over, obviously. Like, he got over, like you said, because his style is just so different from everyone else's.
Yeah.
And I think the moment of Rich Swann winning the title, I think, was pretty powerful. I mean, and obviously you're not going to be able to do something like that every week, but I thought that was a pretty good match that didn't involve a whole lot of crazy high spots. It was like a good match between two guys who knew how to put a good match on, and it was a nice title change.
Yeah. What do you think, Danielle? Yes. Any highlights for you? Same?
Swan was my highlight.
Yeah.
He's great.
Just because, like, watching, I've been watching him at PWG, guys. And I'm like hipster old school Swan fan.
I'm going to PWG in December, by the way.
Oh, whoa. I hate you. I hate you and I love you.
That's awesome.
Oh, I got to learn how to abuse this press pass. So, yeah, like, watching from when he came into NXT, knowing that he was dope, and then watching him come in and just get squashed and being like, what the fuck? Like, why are you doing this? This guy that's so great. And then watching him do well, but not as well as I would have thought in the Cruiserweight Challenge. And then kind of watching people get behind him. Because you know someone in the back was like, well, you're just over because people like Lionel Richie. Like having him get the belt now, like, feels like a vindication from when he got an NXT and got his ass smooth beat by what's his butt with the bald spot.
Oh, Baron Corbin's?
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that I want to talk about real quickly is Austin Aries essentially being moved to the Cruiserweight division as the third commentator, because as we all know, you can't just have two people talking about wrestling as it happens.
That shit upset me so much.
When
the show opened and it had the video game guys, I'm like, okay, this feels like the classic.
Yeah.
And then I saw three chairs. I'm like, no, no, not one.
On Raw, it's gotten to the point where Tom Phillips looks like the guy who showed up for Thanksgiving dinner without an invite. And they're like, well, we guess you can sit at the corner of the adult table.
I haven't even gotten into why are they doing this to Tom?
Yeah.
Why like is he sitting there? Do you need to sit at the thing to learn how to do commentary? Because he's done commentary before. You don't have to have him at the kids' commentary table.
Yeah, he's good at it. But there he is on Raw, which we're gonna talk about now. Let's move over and let's talk specifically about the Universal Champion Kevin Owens and his best friend. My greatest wrestling love, Y2J, Chris Jericho. The two of them kicked off Raw against everyone's favorite underachiever, Roman Reigns. When this happened.
I think if you didn't have Chris Jericho last week, you would have lost that title.
I've had enough of this, Reigns.
Ugh,
you know what happens?
Forever, ever.
Ever, ever?
Forever, ever.
You know what happens when you insult my best friend? You know what happens?
Shut up! Uh-oh. That set up Roman versus Owens later that night, which Roman won, which means the main event for Roadblock End of the Line will be a rematch between the two for the Universal title. Now,
Dick!
Every time I see that now, I can't sit but think of you. I just want more of you in my life just showing it, like, sticking your head in the room. Dick! And leaving. Mike, we've all said that Kevin Owens could use a bit more shine as the main champion on Raw.
One would think.
But he just got pinned by the holder of the United States Championship.
Hulk Roman.
Yes. How much does this hurt him, if at all? Can he fall further?
I mean, I think so. I think you have your secondary title holder beat your main title holder, who you have not been spotlighting at all, who is less over than a scarf and a pen and a list. You have him beat clean. I don't understand why you do this. I don't understand why you ever had Triple H come out and beat people up and put Kevin Owens on top of him in the first place. Yeah. This is how you're going to treat this championship. I really don't get it. And, you know, it's just more of the Roman thing. And I mean, the active booing does not stop. It does not lessen. It seems like it's almost increasing in intensity.
Yeah.
And it's not even just in big cities anymore.
Mm.
I don't understand the resistance to turning this man heel. I do not get it.
I've told you my theory about this, right?
I need to hear it again.
So this is like, this is my like, ooh, Vince McMahon's playing 4D chess. So right off the bat, I'll tell you it's bullshit. But my theory is that, like, we know so much about the business now that the only way to create in their brain would be true faces and true heels is by just, like, letting the dude that we hate get booed, because they're like, well, if we turn him, then he's a face. So we can't make him, if we turn him and we make him a heel, then they'll like him. And so, like, they're actually genuinely being like, nah, they hate him, they're booing him, and it's a genuine real reaction, and the thing that's making them boo them is us pushing him.
I will present you a caveat, though, because They turned Charlotte heel and it went great. Mm-hmm. They turned the Usos heel and it's going great. Mm-hmm. So it just seems to be these specific instances, John Cena, Roman Reigns, who they will not allow us to turn.
But Reigns does he's doing decent in-ring work, right?
He's always had. I've never thought he couldn't wrestle.
Sells a ton of merch.
I don't know if that's the case.
You would guess.
I know at one point it was. I don't know if that's still the case.
I think kids like it's one of those things. It's like the sound you use to ward kids off the mm-hmm. front of the 7-Eleven. Hmm. When you're below a certain age, and I think he does well with young women as well.
He does well. He definitely does well with like the moms who aren't into wrestling but have to bring their kids, and they're like, ooh.
The worst.
What's Aquaman doing here?
Yeah. Exactly. The worst noise that
he can
hear.
He's got both hands.
Imagine the possibilities. Yes, go get that t-shirt. Here, take my wallet.
Yeah. The worst noise he could hear when he comes out is no noise. So as long as they're making a lot of noise, they're reacting to him, and that's what you're looking for, right? You want a guy who has a reaction.
No, you want them to cheer the baby face. Yeah, you want them to boo the heel.
It's not 1987 anymore. We can't do it.
It was 1997. It was 2007. All time. This has been what has happened. I do not understand the resistance. I truly don't.
I still think he has something up on Vince.
Maybe.
Vince did some shit. Vince did something. He's got him on tape saying something real nasty about Samoans.
Well, Danielle, here's an interesting development from Owens and Jericho. Was what looks like a breakup, which is what we heard in that audio. And they've teased this a couple of times now, but it looks like it might finally take. Do you think that's the right move? And do you buy it? Do you think that they're swerving us again?
At this point, I'm like, I'm gonna just let it do what it do. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let it do what it do, baby. Like, I'm gonna just let whatever they're gonna do is. I think it is the right move to break them up because they. As much as I love Owens and Jericho, as much as I love the list, they have whiffed this Universal Championship debut. And part of it was because, what's-his-name snapped his fucking shoulder out the socket.
Yep, Finn Balor.
Because he turned in the wrong thing. But, like, you can recover from that, and it was great for a minute, but it's like, Kevin needs to be the champ, the champ, the champ. Because the title... Ever, never, it doesn't matter how old the title is. Title doesn't mean shit if the person holding it doesn't mean shit. It especially can't mean shit if you just bought the title off the rack 4 months ago.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, I think they got it. I love the best friends. I will cherish them in my heart always. I can't wait for the memes when they finally do break up Shield style. But we gotta let baby birds fly out the nest.
Yeah, that's a good point. So let's take a look at a few other folks who are changing up their attitude. Danielle, Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn showed much more fire than they have recently. Seth kept the jokes to a minimum and pedigreed Jericho onto a car. Never go to the parking lot by yourself, an important WWE caveat. Sami Zayn even got to yell at Mick Foley so hard that his teeth flew out.
What the fuck? I know.
Now, are those steps towards what you want from those two characters?
Well, I literally never want to see an old man's teeth fly out. Never.
Oh, that was amazing.
Was it?
I wasn't prepared.
I just think as far as Seth and Sammy goes, yes. Yo, anytime you can give me Sammy feeling important, I'm in. Plus, I'm getting like a fucking Tyler Black versus Generico thing. Come on, guys. That's cool. That's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
But like, yes. So Seth feels like it's going somewhere. I love the idea of watching those two fight forever. And it does feel, I don't want Seth being jokey. No one asked for Seth to tell jokes. I don't know why that started happening. That's my least favorite version of Seth. I don't want Cena Seth. I want Seth, but like less whiny.
Right. I do think we're seeing the beginning of Sami Zayn going to SmackDown. Is that idea that he's upset with Foley for stopping his match and for not giving, I mean, it was one of those great like work shoots of you're not giving me the opportunities that you had.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Yeah.
No, it was great. And maybe they're doing like the serious version of the Heath thing where he's going to get over there and Daniel Bryan's going to be like, well, you got to fucking earn it or whatever. And then he goes and he earns it. instead of it being the funny Heath thing of like, well, I'm just here and I'm crazy and I need me a contract.
I got 900 kids, man.
Man, you like crackers? but instead, it's like a real thing where it feels like it's not just for comedy, but there's real stakes. And Sammy being like, yo, I got to cash some checks.
Yeah.
I moved to America for nothing. I don't have a friend anymore.
This has been terrible. This is the worst version of an American Tale possible. So, Mike, we also got Paul Heyman for the first time since his client Brock Lesnar lost to Bill Goldberg. And he was much more muted and subtle in his dialogue. He shed some tears, which I don't know how to do that. I've rubbed something in his eye, I would imagine. How interesting is that wrinkle for you to see him vulnerable for once?
I thought it was great. I thought it sold the angle brilliantly.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you touched on, it being muted, him not coming out in front of people and, ladies and gentlemen, you didn't need all that. Just having it muted, it was fucking terrifying. like Brock go kill somebody.
Yeah.
That's a broken dude. Plus also, I mean, I feel like he can cry on cue if he just remembers all of the money he still owes people.
Yeah.
He's like, I can never retire.
All the ECW people who died of just being an ECW. You know
what I mean? Is that a cause of death now? I feel like you can put that on insurance. Yeah. Like, act of God, wrestled in ECW.
It's the only pre-existing condition that Obamacare does not cover is having been an ECW.
Yeah, you did that to you. No one asked you to get hit with fluorescent lights.
Right. Quick follow-up to that, though. Do you feel now, the Royal Rumble, instead of becoming 30 guys who have a chance to win a title shot at WrestleMania, it feels like Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. And that's the way they're selling it. And I know, logically, that probably what will happen is one of them will eliminate the other, and then that person will come back, and they'll do that classic thing to set up their WrestleMania match. Do you feel like does this make you more excited for the Royal Rumble, or does this let you know these are two slots where neither one of them will win?
I'm excited for the Rumble because of it. I'm excited for that moment to happen. I'm excited for one of their music to hit, and then sometime later the other person's music to hit. Like, and whatever moment of tension and chaos that creates in the ring. And they are going to be selling a match where it's very likely that those two won't touch each other for those 3 months between the Rumble and Mania. So something insane is going to have to happen at the Rumble. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And I certainly hope that neither one of those guys wins. Certainly hope that. I do not want the title to get wrapped up in their feud because it doesn't need it.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to SmackDown. It's the other show. Yeah, it's SmackDown. It's only 2 hours long. We're going to talk about it now. It's the blue brand. Had its go home show for TLC. And honestly, the show had way too much talking, but there were still some great things happening. Danielle, Becky Lynch, and Alexa Bliss will officially face off in a tables match. To my recollection, this is the first all-women's tables match in WWE history. Don't correct me online, I'm sure. I'm sure Julia will let me know later. Is it finally time to put the title on Bliss, despite the fact that Lynch hasn't quite been the champion? We hope she can be. She was injured. She hasn't defended it a ton. But man, Bliss like works that crowd.
Bliss is the best.
She's amazing. Right
She's doing A1 work. They need to do whatever needs to happen so that Bliss can go through a table. I don't know if you gotta buy pre-broke tables. I don't know how that has to happen, but if you can't get Sash through a table, you're not getting Alexa Bliss through a table.
Is Bliss not a little bigger than Sasha?
She's pure muscle.
She's
a bodybuilder.
They're both pure muscle, though. Like, I've seen Sasha when she was, before she put on all that muscle. That is all. If she's 120 pounds, 30 pounds of that is muscle.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with, like, Alexa. But it's still, you know, 120 pounds is 120 pounds trying to go through, like, a table. I don't know what is not hitting with Becky being the champion for me, because I've wanted it for so long, but it's just not. It's not doing it for me. I think I would like to watch her chase the title in what would feel like a realer way
right
now before she gets it back.
I think the danger there, though, is if they take this title off of her, people aren't going to care about her chasing it.
That is a danger.
She's had it for a substantial amount of time now, and it's like they can't get her to care, you know, can't get people to care about her actually having it. They're not going to care about her chasing it either, I don't feel like.
Right. And Alexa is Alexa is great. She's great on the mic. I don't think she's bad in the ring. I don't find her to be intimidating, other than like she can talk shit and she can wreck your day, but like she doesn't have that thing where like an Oscar where I'm like, oh, she's gonna fuck you up.
Right. I think her heat's gonna come from cheating mostly.
Yeah, like, I think she's gonna come from that.
She's a heel. You cheat to win.
Yeah. And I don't, it's hard because again, like it's Becky, you want her to finally get the spotlight because everyone else has had it so long. But now I'm kind of like bored with Becky and that bums me out.
I feel like just something's not connecting with Becky and that mic work. And I know it's just such a very difficult position to be in. Like you said, as a babyface champion, it's really hard to keep that edge and keep people interested. But I feel like, okay, last kicker, straight fire. Now she's a honey badger. It's like, okay. But
next match is going to be a Gary Snick.
Right? Nothing. I don't feel like anything is really connecting. And I feel like you almost hear her like grasping at that every week.
Trying to find the thing.
Like when they should probably already know what her thing is and just have her do that, you know,
right,
rather than trying to find the thing while she's got the belt.
Mike, one last question to you. I think the most surprising development with all the title matches happening in TLC is Bray and Randy challenging for the tag team championships. Now, Bray Wyatt has not held a title in his entire WWE tenure. I know he was an FCW tag champ and stuff, but since he's made the main roster, has not held gold. Is it time for him to get some?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I love Bray. I love Bray. I love that they're heating his character up. I love that they're making them as a group look more substantial and dangerous. I don't know. I was looking at that match yesterday with him and Randy against American Alpha, and I liked the match, but there's just something about like cult leader Dreadlock Bray and disciple Randy versus these two dudes wearing like collegiate wrestling outfits. And it's like I had this moment like, what am I looking at right now? Like, where you got these two, you know, like dark characters and then like these two athletes, and I had this disconnect of like, why are these people fighting for something?
In what world do these two dudes have to fight over anything?
Right. And so if they win the titles, I see more of me having that experience of that disconnect. Like these dark guys where you go to them backstage and they're just a light in a dark room and they just got weird gold belts on their shoulders with sheep masks and stuff. I don't know. It's just, it's something about it is a little strange to me. Like it's like I think they exist more in the Undertaker sphere of wrestling characters than like the I'm competing for the title sphere.
Well, definitely after they entered, because they entered first in that match. And then so you go from like the wide entrance, which is great. And then the new thing they do, which is when the lights come on, Randy Orton's in his glory pose up on the turnbuckles. And then they go to that MIDI music. Like, did CFO just pass on doing the music for them? And so they just went to like, who's doing the hot chip tunes right now on YouTube?
Bloom, 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 bloom.
Yeah.
Bloom, bloom.
It's so bad. Like, just give them Kurt Angle's music so you can come back and say, that's mine. Like, let's foreshadow. That's good music.
That would be fun. It's definitely a lot better than, like, why is this cult suddenly in the middle of this track meet?
Yeah. They shouldn't do that. They shouldn't wear tights that look like the wall behind DJ Jeff and the Fresh Prince in their early videos. Like, it's just, it's... come on.
Oh, my God. The devil's playing shot put. What's happening?
Well, there may be new champions this weekend. And speaking of champions, we've got a whole bunch of them to talk about right after the break. That's coming up on Tights and Fights.
Podcasts.
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 They're audio programs that
tell smart stories
in innovative ways
using editing techniques like this.
Like this.
Like this. Like this. Like this.
But let's face it, all that smart stuff can be exhausting.
That's where Stop Podcasting Yourself comes in.
It's so stupid.
It's just two stupid dinguses
being dumb idiot jerks for 90 minutes.
Stop Podcasting Yourself.
The stupid show that smart people love.
Find it on iTunes
or MaximumFun.org.
Dice and Bytes Podcast. Dice and Bytes.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. With me, as usual, to talk about all things wrestling are
Danielle Radford
and
Mike Eagle.
Now it's time for our main event, where we take a look at a corner of the wrestling world that deserves extra attention. At the center of every wrestling promotion is the championship. Most people who put on the spandex want to get the title belt as a testament to the work that they've done, but not every title reign is created equal. We wanted to take a look at some modern championships in wrestling to see what their tenures say about them as stars and about the state of the belt itself. First up, let's talk about the short reign. To discuss this, we're going to look at a title we spoke about last week, the Lucha Underground title. And we spoke all about what a great moment it was to see Sexy Star as the main champion of the brand, but then along came this man.
Hola, soy Johnny Mundo.
Johnny is narcissistic, arrogant.
Finally, the Lucha Underground Championship is right where it belongs. On me.
That's right, Johnny Mundo, who WWE fans may remember as John Morrison, beat Sexy Star for the title 1 week after she won it. Now, Danielle, you told us how excited you were to see Sexy Star get the title when you were there last week. You were also there for this change. And did this development taint the moment of seeing her win, or does that moment still stand well on its own, even with the short reign?
For me, it still stands on its own. It was hard to watch, but also those guys are heels, so them, like, teaming up and beating the ever-loving shit out of the women's empowerment champion is, like, kind of what they do. So for me, it's still important. It's still an important win. I wish it would have been longer. It bums me out that it couldn't have been. But this is one of those, like, small steps, small steps, small steps. You know, WWE just started calling women women. So
wow. Like, yeah. Jeez. Let that sink in.
Yeah, so, like, I'm going to go ahead and say that, like, letting a woman have your main title, even though it only lasted like a week, which is a hardcore bummer, is still, like, it's progress going in the right direction. As much as it sucked to watch her get her ass all the way beat for a lot of minutes.
Yeah. Was it just, you said it was people teamed up on her, or?
Yes, yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay. Does he, like, have a heater or something?
No, he's part of, like, a group.
Oh, it's like
of,
with, like, Jack Evans and...
Yeah, yeah. So it's like three dudes that all fucking hate her. Mm-hmm. And so they, like,
they
helped
already
him.
Hated her?
Yeah, they've been hating her for a minute. And so, like, if I remember, like, they helped her, like, they helped him win through some nefariousness. And then he just kept, like, grabbing and throwing her and kicking her ass.
All right.
And then I think, like, after he won, they came back and, like, beat her ass some more.
Oh, fantastic. Well, RIP to Sexy Star's championship reign, dead after 1 week. But that's not actually as short as it gets. So, Mike, there have been a lot of one-day champions in wrestling history. Some examples are Randy Savage, Mick Foley, Rey Mysterio. Chris Jericho once held the WWF championship for about an hour or less. May 27th, 2000, it is on the WWE Network. Look it up. He beat Triple H, who then got the decision overturned. Can you think of a time where that super short reign felt like a good decision? Or do you think it's just disappointing booking? I know for Mick, in Mick Foley's case, it was Ventura didn't want a heel to go over when he was, because he was the governor at the time. So they put the title on Foley at SummerSlam and then transitioned it to Triple H. But is that good? Like, what do you know?
Yeah, no, I think all that's dumb. I think that's always dumb. I think one day championship reigns, even like a lot of times like 1 week title reigns, it's just like, it's just an extended version of the dusty finish. People that don't know what the dusty finish is, it's the finish that Dusty Rhodes made famous as a booker, where he would do a match in a territory and have the babyface go over for the title. And then for some way, the heel gets it overturned somehow. So you get the pop from the crowd for having the babyface win, but ultimately it doesn't matter because they don't get to keep the title. And I feel like these one day reigns are always that. Like, they just, I feel like they're quick fixes, or they're hot shotting, or any kind of like, kind of quick treatment to a problem, but it's never really substantially helping that talent in any way. I feel like that usually buries a guy, you know, or lady if if they get a title and it gets taken away quickly. I just don't. To me, the thing to do was always try to have them have as lengthy of a reign as possible, because I think that also keeps the value of your title high. I feel like if you switch it back and forth a bunch really quickly between people, it just starts to make it look like it starts to look like there's too much parity between people, and the champion doesn't stand out in any way.
Well, good. That's actually a really good point you made. So let's talk now about the trade-off champion. And good example of that right now would be the Raw Women's title, where the last few months have revolved around Charlotte and Sasha trading wins to earn the title. So Mike, Sasha and Charlotte are now each 3-time champions. And this feud has led to plenty of great matches and moments, but do you think that having the series be a title win followed by a title loss, the rematch, the best way to do things? And assuming that you don't, would you rather have seen them space those big bouts out a little bit and mix in some big title retentions in there? I mean, Charlotte went into it having the title for... Did she break Nikki Bella's reign? Did she go over
Charlotte,
a year?
Yeah, Charlotte did.
Yeah, so yeah. Charlotte became...
I think it doesn't count because it was two different titles.
Right,
it was
the Divas. Yes, that's right. She had the Divas title, and then it became the Women's title. And nobody... But Moolah had it for like 90 years anyway, so nobody's ever going to beat that. Because she, you know... Nobody was letting her wrestle at the time.
I mean, I think what they're doing in terms of trading the title back and forth in itself does not necessarily bother me, because what they're doing is establishing Sasha and Charlotte as a fight forever. This will be, you know, a WWE Network collection later and rivalries. It'll be one of those back and forths that just went on forever and people really enjoyed. My problem is how they're doing these matches, especially when it comes to like their hometowns. It's just so emotionally confusing to me how they're doing this, how they do the Hell in a Cell match in Boston and they play up how it's Sasha's hometown and everybody's popping and they have her lose, and then they do the exact opposite with Charlotte in Charlotte, and you have the match and then there's a count out. And then that's reversed, but like, why is that ever reversed? That never happens ever.
Yeah.
So that looks unfair to Charlotte. And then they restart the match. And then Charlotte loses. And again, they're in Charlotte. People are excited to see her. And then, you know, Sasha wins in a great moment. But then you have Ric Flair come out and congratulate Sasha.
Right.
But his daughter's like in the corner crying.
Remember,
like,
she chased him off. She talked to him.
I get that.
Look at his face. He was not happy.
Yeah. You know what? To me, as a viewer,
yeah,
I feel like if they just lined that shit up, you know, if they reversed the Boston and Charlotte, they do the same things in different cities, then I feel way better about this. Like, what I'm left with is this little bit of weirdness. That takes away from these title changes.
Right. It does hit that idea of them one-upping one another, though. It was just like, you're going to screw me over in my hometown? It's going to be even worse when you lose in your hometown.
Except that the heat, in this case, goes on the bookers. Because we all know better, you know? Like, so it's not like it's, oh, Sasha got over. It's like, oh, why are they doing us like that? Why are they having 17,000 people assemble in a place where they want to cheer for their hometown people? And not only does Charlotte lose, they have Cedric Alexander lose for no particular reason as well. Like, who even beat him? Do we remember? This happened Monday. Do we remember who beat him?
I remember. Who, is it Noam Dar?
Is it
Noam Dar? Can anybody tell me it's Noam Dar?
Nobody can tell you it's not.
Please.
I can't tell you. I can't tell you a single thing about Noam Dar.
Was it Noam Dar?
I know he's from
was
Scotland.
Was it Tony Nese? I'm going to say it was Noam Dar, but maybe it was Tony Nese.
The confusion we're experiencing now means they shouldn't have done that. They could have just let Cedric Alexander go over in his hometown and make people happy.
Was it Taka Michinoku? Did he come back?
It was Funaki.
Oh, it was Funaki. He's very evil indeed. Danielle, let's talk a little bit more about trade-offs. So some other examples of the trade-off champions have been Jericho, Mysterio with the IC title, and the Hardys, the Dudley Boys, and Edge and Christian with the tag titles in 2000. Although Edge and Christian had a pretty lengthy reign in there. Forget it. I'm not even going to get into all my nerdy stuff. But people in favor of those situations would say it's a great way to get a bunch of competitors over at once instead of just one. But those who oppose it say it devalues the title to play hot potato with it like that. So where do you stand?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of that. Like, I think that we have to find a happy medium between we want to break bullshit records of things that we made up because we own it. We own the company. There are fucking bullshit records. We've got to find a way between these guys can't lose because Vince wants to win a record that he set and... Well, people love, you know, people love this person, but we also like this girl's dad. So I guess we're going to have them switch the titles. That's not fair. Charlotte's great on her own. But like, I guess we're going to have them switch titles every Raw and then pay-per-view. Yeah, like it's, I don't need my person, I don't need people to be champs for 4 fucking years. I also don't need someone to get a championship on Raw, lose it on a pay-per-view, get it the next Raw, lose it on a pay-per-view. It's just too much.
Which also happened in 98 to 99 with Mick Foley and The Rock.
Right.
Where it was Foley helping to make The Rock to get him ready for Austin. And they used the title in that as a prop. Mm-hmm. The same way they used Undertaker's urn as a prop, where it was like, somebody stole the Undertaker's urn. Now he's going to come get it. So, like, it can't, the bell has to be more important than an urn. So I agree with you. I'm just putting my 2 cents in.
It depends on if it's an actual dead person's ashes, though, because then I do feel like that has to be more important than a belt.
The remains of Katie Vick. All right.
Oh.
Now, finally, let's talk about the longtime champion. Best example of this today would be the New Day, who are set to break the record for the longest WWE tag team title reign currently held by Demolition. Here comes the axe. Here comes the smash. Danielle, we're all fans of the New Day, but we've all said that we would appreciate them mixing up their act a little bit, which feels like you said before, they're transitioning towards being heels. How important is it for the champion to change things up if they're going to hold the belt for around a year?
You have to. Like, you have to. If you're going to be the person that's just hanging onto the belt, it can't be the same story. That's so boring. So at least now that we know that they're going towards this goal, the fact that they're like, oh, well, the fact that it's not just it means something because the WWE announcers have said that it means something, but the fact that they're like, no, it means something to us. So we're going to go from being the booty cereal guys to being the booty cereal guys who also cheat, which is great because that's how they got over in the first place. Exactly. So that doesn't feel inorganic to me, unlike booty o cereal, at all. Like, that doesn't feel wrong. It feels right that they would go back to like, oh, well, we want things, so we're going to... You know, we're gonna cheat to win thing. I'm way more into that than, or like with John Cena when he was like, I'm just gonna chill here on this U.S. Championship, but I'm gonna make it like a challenge. So every week for a while, he made the U.S. Championship feel like a very important. For a while, it felt like the most important title on the show.
And he elevated people.
Yeah, and he used it to put people over.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to lose it every week, but just by being like, I'm here, we all know that I'm the shit and I'm a fucking multimillionaire. We know that my house is sick and surrounded by gators, so I'm going to let y'all try it, though, because I'm a fighting champ, and at the end of the day, I can still be in Amy Schumer's movies.
I do think they're moving towards an interesting story, because to really make them the heels that are trying to preserve their run at all costs. And with Punk, it was a little easier, because people were already booing John Cena, so it just became him starting to cheat a little bit more. Like that we saw that come through. But he was facing a guy who was already, for all intents and purposes, the babyface. Now they have Sheamus and Cesaro, who after their very realistic bar fight, like the thing, one of the things I've loved, hated the most that I've seen on wrestling, maybe in my entire life. I loved it and hated it at the same time.
They built
so
a
much.
Wall. They really just
and like, they threw it. There was still a bar happening next door. What were they in, like the small, like, all right, this is just for the fighters. This is the fighters' room. We put them in here. Their fresh drywall. But those are the guys who will challenge them to really help, I think, motivate their heel turn, which I'm looking forward to. Mike, final question to you.
Mm.
In 1780... No, I'm
okay.
Other examples of the long-term champ include John Cena, CM Punk, JBL. Who comes to mind to you that's done it extremely well?
To me, the best long-term championship reign that I can remember in my lifetime is the Intercontinental Championship reign of the Honky Tonk Man.
There you go.
Mm.
It was like a good, solid year of a chicken shit heel doing whatever it took to keep his championship and keep all these other mid-carders at bay until they found the perfect person to put the belt on. And he comes out and he issues an open challenge. And when the motherfucking Ultimate Warriors music hits, everybody in the building, everybody at home, collectively lost their shit.
Yeah.
And then in about a minute and a half of the worst wrestling match that ever happened in life.
Oh boy.
In life.
Wow.
The Ultimate Warrior wins.
Ooh,
but to me,
lie?
that's the perfect way to have a long-term championship reign. I mean, in a heel, basically elevating the title because everybody wants to see this guy lose it,
yeah,
and having the perfect babyface challenger come and get it.
Can't argue with that. Guys, we know there are plenty of other types of championships we'll probably take a look at in the future. But after a break, we'll have three things from wrestling for you to take a look at. You're listening to Tights and Fights.
Tights and Fights.
Are you in need of a shake-up? Max FunCon is our annual comedy and creativity festival, and it changes lives. Max FunCon West returns to Lake Arrowhead next June, and Max FunCon East is back in the Poconos next September. Tickets for both are on sale right now, and they will sell out. Visit MaxFunCon.com to buy your tickets today. We can't wait to see you there.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined, as always, by
Danielle Radford
and
Michael Eagle.
Every week, we like to end the show on an upbeat by putting over three things we enjoyed from the wrestling world. This is the three count. Danielle, you're up first. What do you want to put over?
I mean, everyone knows what I'm putting over. Like, it's not.
I don't know.
No one knows.
No clue.
So I'm gonna be more specific than what everyone would have thought that I was going to put over. So I am putting over, obviously, that moment when my wife grabbed the kendo stick from underneath the ring, I'm so disappointed that there are no gifs of this yet. Internet has let me down because she just has this moment where she's just like, vengeance, and her hair is all fucked up, but like good, not like how it normally is. Her hair is like
too
all.
It's too much hair.
It's too much too hair.
It's a lot of hair.
It's too. Someone was like, "Yo, we'll let you bitches fight, but only under 4 pounds of hair. See how well you do then."
It's like Piccolo having to take off the training armor.
I've been wearing 10 pounds of hair this whole time. That's why I haven't been able to make those flips. So, but yeah, so. She like reaches up and she grabs it, just looking like fucking like vengeance, like something out of a fucking samurai movie, and it's glorious and wonderful. And here's a clip.
Sasha just took a kendo stick out from under the ring, and this is legal. No disqualification. And Sasha taking a Charlotte. The boss is in business. No rules, no problem.
Oh man, that's so good. Shut up, Michael Cole. But just like it's that moment. It's that like. Fucking, it's that, you know, Luke Skywalker hitting Darth Vader, just like, I have to hit you with stuff. And Charlotte's back was all fucked up. And then obviously
her back, her arms.
Oh, man, she got her. Yeah. Ooh, back teen. Gotta get some back teen. And then obviously, like, the part where she went through the thing was dope. And the part where poor Ric Flair, who clearly all he wanted to do was go comfort his daughter, had to like go up, and you can tell because Sasha even looks like, I'm sorry they made you do this. And then Rick goes and like whispers something to her, which is, and she's probably like, oh my god, thank you, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, it's okay, it's the business, or whatever he says
Vince.
In that moment. Yeah, it's like, it's not you, it's Vince. And then like he looks at her and he smiles and he reassures her, you can see that moment. And then she kind of smiles and he leaves and she gets that little like, oh man. And then she goes back into like character, but there's definitely a moment of like, I am so sorry I just beat the shit out of your daughter with a stick.
that one where she was in a figure eight and then she reached back out of nowhere and got the stick.
Yo,
and started beating
my
her
God.
In the stomach with it. I was like,
she hit her right in the giny. She took the stick and she aimed it right for her giner.
Hey,
it was
no holds are barred.
No holds.
Mike, what do you want to put over?
So I listen to too many wrestling podcasts, way too many. My newest obsession is Killing the Town, which is a podcast hosted by Lance Storm and Cyrus, a.k.a. Don Callis, a.k.a. the Jackal from ECW, WCW, and WWF, and various northern weird Canadian territory fame. This podcast is on the Jericho Network, and another podcast on the Jericho Network is Conan's Keeping It 100 podcast, which I also enjoy very much. Now, Conan's podcast is him and like 50 other people talking, and one of these people is Disco Inferno. What has happened is that there is a podcast beef. There's a rivalry going on between Disco Inferno and Cyrus, and they basically just take turns talking shit about each other every week. They'll play the clip of the of Callis talking shit on Keep It 100, and then Disco Inferno responds, and they'll play that clip on Killing the Town, and it just goes back and forth until infinity.
Man, but put your podcasts over, boys.
You know, for real. And Disco said it, like, the angles happening on podcasts right now are in some ways more exciting than the ones happening in the ring. But this week, Cyrus cut a promo on Disco Inferno that was just absolutely scintillating. It was hair raising. It was awesome. Just awesome old school promo, and I loved it. And this is that.
Let me tell you something about Disco. Disco doesn't have friends. He has hosts, like a parasite. Disco is a wood tick. He attaches himself to whoever he thinks can help him, whoever he thinks can be in power. And then they keep him around because he does his little court jester routine.
I mean, and it just goes on like that for a while. But it makes me so happy. Because when a guy who knows how to cut a promo just cuts a promo and it's worked shooty and it's got some real elements in it and it's played up and there's... it's beautiful.
He
it's
busted great. Out the against.
Yeah, he did.
Against. Yeah. Oh. Damn. Oh, that hurt me.
Yeah, it's good.
I have never felt empathy for Disco Inferno until this moment.
I love that rivalry.
It's so good.
And I haven't gotten to the end of that episode, so I haven't heard it yet. So it's fun to hear it.
It's
spoiled for me. I'm just, now I know I have to power through. I had to power through it. Well, thanks to Mike, the thing I'm putting over this week is also from a wrestling podcast. Something to wrestle with. Bruce Pritchard. recently, not this past week, but the week before, we did a special Survivor Series episode, so I didn't get a chance to put it over, but I'm going to do it now. They discussed Vader's run in the WWF. And as they got towards the tail end of that run, in particular his feud with Goldust, Conrad had a little trouble keeping it together. While talking about some of the things that Vader was going through. Let's hear that clip.
On the 12th of January, Goldust is in a match against Vader on Raw, and in the match...
Go ahead. You want me to do it for you?
Goldust pulls a coconut out of his bra.
I ain't got a coconut, folks. Pull it right out of his bra.
Well, there you go. That is not the end of it. It gets so much worse. That's such a fun podcast and definitely worth listening to, especially if you are a fan of behind-the-scenes stuff in wrestling. But that's going to do it this week for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. Our hosts are Daniel Radford and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Loveland. Our producer and secret soldier from Beyond the Glass is Julian Burrell. Mike Eagle is also the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. And if you're going to be in Chicago on February 11th, that's a Saturday, come see us at Very, Very Fun Day. We'll be there along with all sorts of other Max Fun podcasts like Judge John Hodgman, The Flophouse, and tons more. Details are at MaximumFun.org/Very, Very Fun Day. Keep up with us all week long at Facebook.com/group/TightsFights and at TightsFights on Twitter. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and